Hello, welcome to the Tuesday Show. I'm CJ, and that's Ted, and it's...
I wasn't ready for that. I'm still twirling the old...
The old moustache.
Still twirling the old moustache. Right. Okay. Let's hit the jingle. Quack.
Many quacks.
Many quacks indeed. Hi, CJ. How are you doing?
Hi, Ted. I'm fine. How are you?
I'm good, thanks. Now, the first thing I've got to ask you, before we do anything, before we play any tracks or anything like that, as we are also on camera for the purposes of clips...
YouTube shorts.
Do I look like I've got a slightly claggy beard? I only ask this because I had some baked camembert earlier today, and at one point I was almost thick with it.
Camembert bukkake.
Oh God! What are we? A minute in?
Welcome everyone. No, you look fine. I realised as you were talking, I was just kind of looking at my own moustache. And I really need to trim it, but it's over my lips. I need to trim it. So,
yeah.
Then again, I'm going to see the barber tomorrow, so it's all good. Yeah. I'll get into it.
Yeah, yeah. On the subject of facial hair, have you seen the announcement that now the army are allowing beards?
I thought the army allowed beards anyway. Well, there was like certain positions within the army you can have a beard, or
there's lots of exceptions. You know, if you're willing to lie about skin conditions, then you can have a beard. Or
no, there was like
various religious.
Yeah, but there was like certain positions or things within. Beards to be a like I said, I've seen plenty of pictures of army guys with beards, but it doesn't surprise me that the army are now allowing beards as part of standard. Practice. It was always going to happen. As soon as the Air Force adopted it, it was always going to happen that the Army would follow suit.
What are they? Like a couple, there were, what, 2 or 3 years behind the Air Force with that one?
Oh, yeah.
And about 50 years behind the
Royal
Navy.
About 1,000 years behind the Navy. Yeah.
Mind you, they've had them in the past.
Yeah.
I think they've just gone with fashion in the past.
Yeah.
Like at one point, there's one regiment in the army, in the British Army, where on their tunic, on their like parade dress, they've got the little black ribbons that come out of the back of the collar,
mm-hmm.
And they were there to protect their tunics from because the officers used to have little ponytails, which just seems wrong. But
I agree. You go back as far. I mean, I think I've said on the show before. My parents used to be reenactors. They used to reenact English Civil War. But you go back to that kind of time, 16th, 17th century. All of the army, it was the fashion to have goatee, mustache, soul patch, mutton chops, whatever. It was always the thing. And, think about Napoleonic era, mutton chops were a thing. As fashions.
Zulu. Yeah. Some mutton chops.
Colossal Bourne, he had a massive beard, didn't he? In the movie, that is. Mm-hmm. I don't know about real life, but in the movie, he had a beard, You're button up, lad. What do you think you are? So it's always been kind of a fashion thing, and yes, beards are very fashionable today, and have been for the last probably 10 years. The beards have made a real comeback.
I think we started.
I'm sure it was us.
I really believe that's the case.
I'm certain it was us.
People, particularly young guys looking for a role model. Mm-hmm. They've watched the Tuesday Show. Like, that's where I see myself.
That's where it's at.
That's where it's at. But the army. I think I don't know what they are. I don't know what kind. Third, corporal of the. Goat or something like that is allowed a beard.
Something like that.
Was allowed a beard, and I think it's somebody who carries an axe on parade, something like that.
Yeah,
Because there's always a guy with an apron and an axe.
Yeah.
And
because why not?
I think he's supposed to be doing that. I don't know. Just turned up with an apron and an axe.
just join on the back of the file. Just be like, yeah, don't mind me.
Yeah. It's just a local weirdo murderer type. Adding to
the local butcher, isn't it?
Parade.
Regimental sergeant butcher.
Right. Talking of butchery, let's see if I can butcher this first intro for some music. And we are going to be listening to Lifelong Corporation with Bollocks.
No, not with Bollocks.
Right. I'll start that one again. So we've got Lifelong Corporation with Noises.
Lifelong Corporation with Noises, and that was a lot of different noises that actually made a really good track, I think.
Absolutely.
The start of that absolutely reminded me of like every fight scene in every futuristic 90s movie ever. And everyone start karate chopping each other you know, or bringing out guns and being like, da, 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 da. Yeah. I don't know. I'm just talking bollocks here, Ted.
It's fine. You created a wonderful picture there. Lifelong Corporation. So we've not heard from them for a while. We've just been sent that. So it's a good time to, a quick reminder, if you're a musician, you've got something you want played on the show, get in touch, send it over, and we'll have a, we'll give it a spin. Is that the same? Yeah,
give it a spin. We'll spin it on the deck.
We'll give it a spin. Yeah. And then we might play it. Easter. What are your thoughts on Easter? I know we discuss Christmas a lot because, you know, even if we do nothing throughout the entire year, we will sit down and do a Christmas special. Maybe what we ought to do is discipline ourselves to do an Easter special as well.
Should we just do an every holiday special?
Yeah, that's a good
every
idea,
holiday.
Isn't
it? So what we had so Easter, well, Christmas, we need a New Year special, a Valentine's special, Easter special. I don't know, some kind of summer bonanza. What happens during the summer? I don't know.
I don't know.
But then you get Halloween.
Trooping the Colour.
Trooping the Colour special.
Oh, that's an idea.
That's an idea. See if you can get someone to write, to send in some like military style music. That would be wicked. But then you get Halloween, Bonfire Night.
Spooky.
Yeah, Bonfire Night for us. Here in the UK, Thanksgiving for the United States. I think actually Thanksgiving in Canada is in October. I might be wrong on that one. I'll have to double check. Actually, no, listeners, you tell us.
Didn't know they did it, to be honest.
Yeah, Canada have a Thanksgiving as well, but it's like long before the United States. The United States is like towards the end of November because that's when Black Friday happens. So then we get to do a Black Friday special where we get to reduce the price of our podcast to less than free. So we will pay you to listen to it, listeners. And then we get Christmas again.
It's a deal. It's a steal. In fact, fuck it, Nick. I think I'll keep it.
I'll say you don't pay anything anyway, so we'll actually pay you to listen. That's the Black Friday deal from the Tuesday show.
Bargain.
An every holiday special. What do you think? We could do.
I think that's
Memorial
great.
Day, Remembrance Sunday. We'll do all the stuff for America: President's Day, National Turnip Day, or whatever the hell other holidays they have over there. We could do the same, but we could pick any day. You know, there's like an International Kiss a Ginger Day or some crap like that. You know, that's a thing.
That sounds very made up.
100%. No, they're not gingers. They're strawberry blondes.
Yeah, it was the strawberry blonde, the lonely strawberry blonde meeting, where they decided, let's have a kiss of ginger day.
100%.
Let's do it.
100%.
St. George's Day.
Yes, of course.
That's coming
up. St. George's Day.
Yes.
All the others in the UK as well, Andrews, Davids, Patrick's.
Yeah.
We miss St. Patrick's Day.
Yeah, we did.
We miss St. Patrick's Day.
Yeah.
I've never understood St. Patrick's Day. I remember when I was much younger, like in one of my first jobs, you know, starting my career early, and it would come around to St. Patrick's Day, and everyone would be like, oh, let's go to the pub and get pissed. Like, I've got to come to work the next morning. I'm good, thanks. You know, because St. Patrick's Day is on a Sunday. You know, we don't get the Monday off. Unless you're booking the Monday off, I am absolutely not doing that. So thanks anyway.
I think there's two ways of looking at St. Patrick's Day. One is that you could have a little bit of jealousy of the fact that they clearly celebrate, and you know, not just in Ireland, but you know, in various places in the world, certainly English speaking world, they celebrate St. Patrick's Day. But then, at the same time, really, if your patron saint's day just turned into a bit of a binge opportunity for the Anglosphere. Yep. That's not something to be particularly proud of, I don't think.
No, I don't see it that way, no.
Here's our national day, and it's an opportunity for, you know, somebody in New York City to get alcohol poisoning.
To go home with liver failure. Nice one.
Yeah. What a legacy. Yeah,
but yeah, I'd, I do remember that.
Legless city.
It was always that excuse of, oh, we need to go out and drink Guinness. It's like, I mean, I don't like Guinness anyway. And I'm like, no, I'm okay. We'll just come out and have a few drinks. No, I'm still good. Thanks.
Mm. Mm. I've not had Guinness for such a long time. It's a very, it's a bit of an acquired taste. Mm. Actually, it's about time I tried it again just to see what it's like so I can remind myself whether or not I want to have it again. I used to have quite a popular drink, I remember, certainly when I was a student, was Guinness, port and Guinness, which was quite nice because the sort of sweetness of the port had a nice effect on it, and also makes the top a little bit red.
Yeah, it's true.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes, and that was the other thing. Yeah. Like people would order, you know, Guinness and blackcurrant.
Yes.
Why is that? I mean, that's clearly just people who didn't want to drink port because port was expensive, and were just like, "Oh, but I want to give it a sweeter flavour, so I'll put blackcurrant in it instead." Yeah, close enough.
Close, but no cigar.
It's like people who have like lager and black. That used to, was it? No, cider was it? There was a drink that someone in there would be something and black, and I'm like, the hell is that and black? Like, oh, blackcurrant. Why are you putting blackcurrant in your beer? Why don't you just urinate in a glass of water and just call it good? What's the point?
We don't do cocktails. No. No. What's your favourite drink?
I probably should have expected that question.
isn't it a question that you know the answer to anyway? Because, I mean, imagine you go into a pub or a bar. What are you going to drink?
Diet Coke.
It's going to be a favourite, isn't it? I mean, you're not out there to punish yourself.
Diet Coke. I'm really not an alcohol person. This is the thing.
Do you know what? Neither am I.
I'm not going to say I don't like alcohol. I don't understand alcohol, and I don't understand the point of alcoholic drinks. And it's like beer... It's not a nice enough flavour for me to want to go and drink it on a regular basis. I know I don't like Guinness. I like wine. But again, I'm also like, I don't know, I look at drinking drinks as a means to quench my thirst. Not to make my mouth taste like a badger's ass in the morning. So I really don't drink anymore. I mean, there might be an occasion, but... If you said what's my favorite alcoholic drink, it's port every time.
Right.
My favorite actual drink is probably orange and mango squash in a glass of water.
Okay. Yeah, I'm certainly not a drinker. But on those occasions where it's convivial, I will have a I don't mind red wine, but it doesn't like me. I very, very quickly end up with a headache. But it's weird. It's like a headache and sort of feeling a bit congested.
Yes.
Yeah, it's weird. Port, yeah, big fan. But yeah, I'll have a bitter. But actually, this is me not being, you know, much of a drinker. Not that I can't take it, because I can take it. But of course, I drive everywhere.
That's it. I'm always driving.
So you're kind of restricted anyway. I will tend to have a bitter shandy. Because you're stretching it out, aren't you? Yeah.
God, I remember those days when we were at the old sports bar, you and I.
Yeah.
With your mixed grill and my all-day breakfast, and we'd have a bit of shandy to go with it. Yes, those were the days.
Mixed grill. Now I'm thinking about mixed grill. You see, again, it's not the booze, it's the, you know, it's the company and the food. And,
exactly. I mean, when was the last time you actually drank, like, as in had more than you could have to then drive again?
Oh gosh, I got no idea.
Okay.
I can't even think that far back.
So with work, we occasionally go to our corporate place in Scotland, and there is a bar there, you know, where you can pay for drinks, obviously, I guess it is subsidized, but someone still needs to pay for it because, you know, it's not a licensed bar or anything like that. So it's just us, as if we were in a pub, just buying drinks and then they replenish it and all that. But anyway, there's no profit made off it. That's the point. When was the last time I was there? I want to say October last year. It was either October or November. We were there for a team gig rather than an actual official corporate event type thing. We were just there as a team having a get together. It would have been December for a Christmas do. That's when it would have been. But because there was kind of no one else there, it was just us and the team, me and the team. I did let my hair down. I did have a fair amount to drink.
El Vino did flow, as probably David Brent said.
Possibly. I don't know who David Brent is. Wait, isn't he the guy from The Office? Isn't that Ricky Gervais's character from The Office? Yeah, there you go. But I was just on whiskey for the entire night, both nights, just whiskey. And I was more than happy with that. Until someone decided to mix it up for me and do me something else. And I was like, what the hell? And literally, I couldn't walk. I was like, what the hell? I was like, Jesus Christ. Yeah, shouldn't mix your drinks, folks, because it's bad. But yeah, no, I was on, the first night, I was just on whiskey all night, and I was fine. Fine the next day, no problems at all. Second night, somebody was pouring drinks, and everyone by that point knew that I was just drinking whiskey, and there was a whole range of whiskey. So then they're like, "What do you want to drink?" I literally just said, "Surprise me," and they did surprise me by not pouring me a whiskey, by pouring me something else, and it was definitely a surprise when I tried to stand up.
I think it's one of those things that we've all been there, sometimes several times, and then you get to a certain point in life and you think, I don't even know why. Why would you even do that? It's the being senseless, and then that's soon followed by probably an entire day of regret and pain. Just doesn't seem worth it anymore.
The second night, that's the dangerous night, because we all then drive home on the third day, or go home on the third day. You know, I am one of a few people who drove, and I woke up in the morning. I went down for breakfast, and I just kind of sat in the, I guess, our equivalent of an ante room, you know, just in a nice little quiet space where I could read or look at my laptop or do whatever. And I just thought, I'm probably going to be here for most of the day. I'm not driving home. I will leave here at 6 p.m. if I have to, just to make sure I'm sober before I go, because I felt so rough. I was not in a good spot. I think I got to about midday after many cups of coffee, a lot of food, and just went, okay, I think I'm okay. And even then, I got 45 minutes down the road and had to pull over. And just, not because I felt unsafe. I was just like, I'm tired. I am probably dangerous. I am probably still over the legal limit, and just went, I'm just going to take a break. And I went to found the local Tesco, bought another crap ton of food, bought a Costa coffee.
And that's when you noticed all the blood on your front bumper.
Thankfully not. But I was just like, no, I'm just going to sit. I'm going to drink my coffee, have something to eat, and I'm just going to sit here for half an hour and just... Literally, my window's open, so I've got the fresh air blowing through as well. And I did feel a lot better after that as well.
Yeah.
Like I say, I didn't feel drunk at that point. I felt unwell. Mm-hmm. If I was driving with a heavy cold kind of sensation. But I'm not going to dismiss the fact that I probably shouldn't have driven. It was just one of those situations where I was just like, I really wish I didn't do that. And it's reaffirmed that I, probably won't do that again. Because normally when we go to this place in Scotland, I really don't drink a lot. If at all, I might have a glass of wine with dinner, and that is me. I'm done. But that's because we have other people there who aren't in our team, or we're there for a specific purpose for like presentations and things like that. And I'm like, I want to be on top of my game. I don't want to be, and I've seen people that have drank too much and then tried to work the next day, and it's not a good sight. And I'm like, I don't want to be that guy. That's not me.
Even at the best of times, I mean, that's, it's a hell of a job doing that drive. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's Scotland after all.
Oh yeah, thankfully it's like just the other side of Dumfries, so it's about 5 hours from where I live. It's still a long way, but it's not like I'm driving up to Aberdeen or anything. Thankfully, I think if I went to Aberdeen, I probably would fly.
Yeah,
just because that's the sensible suggestion. Where this place where we go, people are like, "Oh, why don't you just fly to Scotland, then get the train from Scotland down to Dumfries, then somebody will come pick you up from Dumfries." I'm like, with all of that freaking hassle, I could have driven there and been there for an hour by the time, I've done all of that. I'll just drive. I'm good. Thanks.
Yeah.
It's not sustainable. Yeah. I don't give a crap about sustainable.
No. That's always been the way. Some people just don't know where anything is unless it's got a junction number to it. And you know, they'll get on the motorway for the most stupid, journeys. It's like would be quite a short journey if they stuck to A roads mm-hmm. and B roads, but they've got to go on the motorway because that's the only way they know how to get from junction one to junction five or something, you know, something like that. Like, just look around you.
It probably feels faster for a lot of it, and because you're for the most part, you get to go at up to 70 miles an hour, even though a lot of people still go faster than that. I don't know. I can see the appeal of doing it that way. It's just not really for me.
Unless
you get stuck in traffic, and then you're screwed.
Yeah, and then you're doing 0 miles an hour for 4 hours.
That's it for how as long as you're stuck in that traffic jam.
You're stuck there, aren't you? You can't like peel away. Yeah. You can't even stop. You can't even like, I'll just pull over into this side road and I'll get out of the car and chill or do my work there or whatever. you're just kind of
stuck. I love it when you're stuck in a traffic jam for that long that people start getting out of the car to look down the road. And then you're like, never in the history of anyone getting out of the car to look down the road has anything been seen that's of use. It's just like, I love seeing people do it. I'm like, you can't see anything. It's like, I know you can't see anything.
It's so far mm-hmm. ahead. And the other thing is, nothing's ever been solved. No. It's not like, hang on, it's moving. Why is it moving? it's because that guy got out and pointed.
Yeah.
Oh, brilliant. Cheers, mate. Thank you. Thanks for that.
It's like when it suddenly starts moving again, and you know, obviously we're joking about potentially serious accidents, but when it all starts moving again, and you just like suddenly you're driving down the road, and it dawns on you after a few minutes, you're like, I haven't seen any cause for this traffic jam. Nothing. Mm. Not a police car, not a highway, or a traffic officer car. You know, nothing. So why was I sat there for an hour doing nothing?
Well, the cause was one cock. Somebody wasn't looking where they were going, or they weren't paying attention. They looked up, they realized things were slowing down a bit, or they weren't going as fast as they were. They applied the brakes too heavily, or applied the brakes when they shouldn't have done. Somebody else has done the same thing behind, and each and every time it gets quicker. And then somebody, that could be a couple of miles down the road behind, somebody's actually stopped.
Yep.
And it takes a hell of a long time for everybody to start.
I mean, I don't think they're the cause of the ones where you're sat there for, you know, 2 or 3 hours. You know, which, you know, we've been there. And thankfully, you know, touch wood, they don't happen that often anymore.
Happens with the snow.
Yeah.
We get snow ones, don't we? Yeah.
But, I think we've all been there where we've just been kind of sat in a traffic jam for like 4 or 5 hours. You notice how I'm gradually getting longer and longer in time every time I talk about this. Yeah, we've been sat there for 10 hours.
I remember that time. It was 3 or 4 days. at least a month I was out there.
But I remember as a kid.
In fact, I'm still there. I'm still there.
I'm still there right now. It was 20 years ago. I went out.
It's been 16 years.
20 years ago, I went out for a bottle of milk, and I'm still there. but I remember as a kid, like going from where we used to live in Northampton back down to London to see, you know, my family or for, you know, finishing whatever. And then we got onto the motorway, junction 15, hit the motorway, 100 yards down the road, dead stop. 7 hours we were sat there. You know, not even like, you know, the police coming at that point to turn people around to send them back up the junction, because the traffic at that point had backed all the way down the A45 into Northampton. It was chaos. And you're just like, and that was it. We were there. You know, a journey that should have taken 2 hours, you know, suddenly took 9 because we were sat on the motorway for 7 of those, not moving. It was terrible at that point. I mean, that was awful because you get to a point where you're just like, I am so desperate for the toilet. You know.
Yeah.
But you then see people getting out of the cars and running to the hard shoulder and running into the bushes to go for a pee. You know, it's just. Because that's all you could do. You know, the traffic wasn't moving.
Hey, do you know what? The worst thing is spending all that time sat on your ass.
Good segue. That leads us nicely onto the next track of the day, which really does. Talking of sat on your ass, our next track comes from our good friend Eric C. Powell, who has sent us a brand new track. This one is called Saturn. Thank you.
pow, and the dirt is gone. That was Eric C. Powell with Saturn.
Pow, and the traffic jam is gone. And then everyone travels at a million miles an hour, which leads us on to our next track. No, I'm just kidding.
I can see clearly now the traffic's gone. So anyway, I know what I was going to ask you. Little Easter treat for you. This is a little Easter question for you. So imagine the scenario. God has appeared in the clouds, and he decides he's going to rapture all the, let's say, the large birds. So he's got the hens, he's got the all the hens and roosters and things like that. So basically, chickens, ducks, ostriches, quails, all that sort of stuff. Okay, and they're all taken up to heaven because they've been good boys and girls and ducks. And then you're left there, and it turns out that you indeed are special because somehow you've managed to end up with the last surviving chicken's egg.
Uh-huh.
Okay, so standard egg from, you bought from Asda or something, and you're the last one with one left. The question is, here's the big question. How are you going to cook that egg?
Well, that depends on the... I don't know. I guess that depends on what I'm feeling that day. Because there's so many...
But it's the last one of it. This is the last time you are ever going to have a fresh egg.
Ooh. I don't know. That's a good question. Honestly, I'd probably make an omelette out of it.
A very small omelette.
Yeah, I might add a little bit of milk in there just to make it go a little bit further. But then I'd stick some cheese and ham in there, and there we go, perfect. Ham, cheese, omelette. Done. What about you? Okay. What would be your last egg on Earth?
Well, I don't know, because I was thinking a poached egg. But then there's a danger involved in that, because you can screw up a poached egg. In the same way you can screw up a, what's the other one? Fried egg.
Omelette, in fact, boiled egg.
Yeah.
You can screw them all up. So, that's the problem, isn't it?
Well, but even an omelette, though, I mean, the yolk's broken. It's, it is what you're looking at, basically. Scrambled eggs, that's another one. Scrambled eggs, you can't completely cock that one up.
True.
But yeah, it's certainly. But the other thing, like scrambled eggs and omelettes. Now, I can see at some point somebody saying, well, actually, we can do some sort of powdered alternative. So you can have the taste of those eggs that we then miss because we've lost all the birds.
Not the same.
It's not going to be the same thing. But it's not going to be the same.
However.
But it's all we've got.
However, I need to change my answer.
Because CJ ate the last egg.
What a bastard.
What was your mind?
I'm not having a ham and cheese omelette. I'm having toad in the hole.
Oh.
I'm going to use my last egg to mix it with flour and milk, and I'm making toad in the hole.
But that's exactly what I was thinking, because obviously you've got cake.
Yeah.
Yeah, another option. But again, the scientists... Got to trust the science. The scientists are going to give us an alternative at some point that we can use in cakes and that we can use in whatever it was that you just said.
Toad in the hole.
What was it?
Yorkshire pudding, toad in the hole type thing.
Yorkshire pudding.
Okay.
I feel like that might be a slight waste.
I don't know. Knowing that would be the last toad in the hole I'd ever have with a real egg, I think I'd be okay with it. I would actually be okay with that.
There we have it, folks. I think we should put that one out to the audience if you're listening. Goodness knows why. But if you are, what would you do with the last egg on Earth?
Goodness knows why you're listening to this compelling content.
You a vegan? What would you do with the egg then?
Good question.
Yeah. In fact, if you're a vegan, I don't know why you're listening to this show, because we spend most of it talking about bacon.
That is true.
Yeah.
That is true. So I'm guessing we don't get much in the way of vegan listeners. Just a you know, spitballing a thought there. I don't think we're getting a lot of vegans listening to us.
If you're a vegan, get in touch.
Yes, please do. Please do. Absolutely nothing wrong with vegans and veganism. I can truly see the health benefits to being a vegan. It's the militant, I'm doing it because you shouldn't hurt animals, people. It's like, I'm sorry, we breed cows to eat them, so I'm going to eat them. Much like the vegetables that you eat, people grow that specifically for you to eat it. Where's the vegetable cruelty, campaigners when you need them? They're the ones I'm going to join. People who shouldn't eat vegetables, because vegetables, lives matter.
But no, you actually, you're talking bollocks, but you actually touched upon something there by accident, which is, if you think about it, the carrot, as we know it, has been bred and, seeds mixed and whatever, to make the carrot like this big, chunky, nice, fresh looking, the color and everything like that. Yeah. So we've made that happen so that we can eat carrots. So when we think about actually, sort of the animals, like the cows, are the way that they are, they're bred the way they are, so that we can actually have meat. So if we didn't have the meat, or we didn't have the milk and whatnot, we wouldn't have cows as you've seen them, and we would never have had them.
Correct.
They would never have existed.
Cows, pigs, sheep,
nice sort of
dogs, absolutely. Cats,
hamsters.
But it goes for a lot of things. You talk about carrots. Carrots used to be purple.
Yeah.
I think, if I remember correct, the story of the orange carrot was to do with something to do with William of Orange, not wanting purple carrots, and he wanted them so everyone could support him, or some crap like that. There was some reason.
Yeah.
Someone made them orange. Okay, and now carrots are just orange. It's just how they are. Things like, bananas. Bananas don't have seeds in them. Wild ones do. Where else do you get seeds for bananas from? How else do you make plant banana, plantations and all that, plantations? Seedless grapes, seedless oranges. People haven't figured out how to do seedless apples and pears yet.
Yeah, absolutely. Listen, it's funny you should say that, because I've heard a fun fact. It was only today that I heard this fun fact, and this is regarding the color purple.
Okay.
Seeing as we brought it up, did you know that the reason why you'll rarely, or practically never, find a nation flag with purple in it, is because originally, back in the day, purple could only be found in a certain plant. I don't know what it is. I've not researched this properly, and I was told this by an 8-year-old, but I believe it. And that's the reason why. And because it was rare, very often you would have people like Roman emperors. They would have a purple toga and purple accessories, just to show that they are a person of status.
I was going to say, I know the whole sort of like the history of the color purple being associated with power and status and money, wealth, was because you don't find the color purple in the wild as often as you do greens, blues, reds, yellows, those things. So having any kind of purple garment or accoutrement was a sign of wealth, and status. And like you say, emperors, kings, queens, all that stuff. It was like you added purple to it. It was a sign of the status. Yes, that makes a lot of sense. And that matches kind of what I've heard about purple, What's your favorite color, Ted?
I have to say my favorite color is probably blue.
I agree. Blue is a great color, as demonstrated by many things in my room, my studio here. Even to the blue on my American flag that's right behind me, which the listeners can't see, but
I think there's probably no the color scheme for the Tuesday show, in fact, that was easy for me to say, is blue.
Yeah, it is blue.
I don't think there's any surprises there, really. Both of us
like blue. I've always made it quite clear whenever anyone's asked me about my favourite, it's always blue. And generally, I like most shades of blue, but definitely yeah. Royal blue or Old Navy blue is my favourite. So Old Navy blue is the shade of blue that appears officially on the Union Jack.
All right.
So when you find a proper coloured Union Jacks, that shade of blue is probably my favourite next to Royal blue. Royal is very great. I love Royal. I know you can't really see it well on the cameras, but my sound panels there, they are Royal blue. I love them. So good.
I have nothing blue behind me. Yeah, on reflection, I'm blueless. I've got my green too.
Yes, you do, yeah.
And I've got my green lights.
Yeah.
I
can change my lighting colour. It's not just set to blue. Did I show you this last week?
Well, yes, so can I. But I've got a green too, yeah. So it works best with that.
I can't remember if I showed you this last week, but I can, we can go red, we can go green, purple. I'm now very regal with purple. We can go yellow.
Yeah.
Pink. But I most definitely prefer blue. But yeah, I have range of colours.
Cooler, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, for me, being a big fan of blue and having everything, I've got RGB all over my computer, but it's all blue. I don't use the G and the B, the G and the R.
Yeah.
I just use the B. I just use blue.
Yeah. Yeah.
He says wearing a maroon sweatshirt today.
Yeah, yeah. I've got blue lights behind all my sort of panel here as well.
Yeah.
So obviously you can't see that.
So if I can put a color scheme,
unless you can see the reflection in my eyes,
I really cannot. But yeah, if I can put a color scheme together, it's generally going to be blue. Although I've gone for a darker room here for my studio space, apart from those wave panels and the blue lights. But yeah, I've got blacks and grays in here just because it's a gaming room as well, and that's what gamers do. We all have black rooms. My bedroom is blue themed. My living room is blue and gray. My office is green. My actual office is green coloured. But that was by accident because the room it was in had a green carpet. So I then bought a matching green lampshade. But now I've moved that room to downstairs. I still have the green lampshade and that's really it. So it's not really themed green anymore. So I'm just talking nonsense now.
We were doing a little bit of reminiscing earlier on, and do you remember? We've had quite a few bands that we've had sending us music, and we played them quite a few times.
Yep.
And interestingly, we do get quite a lot from some very far off, far flung places, and you can't get more far flung than Australia.
Australia.
Off the top of my head, I can think of two top contributors from Australia.
Well, Shipper comes one to mind first for me.
Shipper 63.
Yep.
Another one is the Phosphenes. And here we've got a classic track that we've played before, but certainly one of my favourites, and I think it's one of yours as well. And this is the Phosphenes with A Million Miles an Hour.
Classic track.
I think that I'm in love with you and I feel it every hour. I think that you've been using me and I think you've got the power. You got my heart a pumping and it's going to my head and I feel my
phosphines a million miles an hour. And it feels like, Ted, that this show, this particular episode today, has actually really gone a million miles an hour. We've spoken about a lot of stuff in a very short space of time.
We have indeed. Yeah. Most of it off camera.
Most of it off camera.
Because it's a bit spicy.
Yeah, or off mic for the listeners. Yeah.
Nice lead on, though. But if you want to be part of the conversation, please do get in the comments. And of course, you can email us at
cjandted@thetuesdayshow.co.uk.
Or you can always drop me a DM at Ted James Media, or even you could DM CJ at CJ Brooks FM.
That's still one of my favourite bits from the radio jingle that you did for All You Help Me With.
Yeah.
FM. Inspiration FM.
Have you got it? Let's play it.
Oh, geez. Now you're asking. It's buried somewhere in an archive because I haven't used it for so long, and I don't know if I could. If I, actually, I probably could sort it out. Hang on. Let me...
Time for the... A few moments later.
Yeah. Just talk amongst yourselves. Right, I need the GoXLR app so I can change my routing so you can have...
A few moments later.
Sunday Night Rock.
Sunday Night Rock.
Returns next Sunday from 10 p.m.
Inspiration FM.
Anyway.
So anyway.
That was great.
Right. time for us to go. Yes, until next time.
Bye.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.
FM.